Anyway, Sanatana Goswami was born in a very high-class family, Brahminical family. He had a lot of wealth, was well-to-do, very knowledgeable, very intelligent. He was highly situated in government service. And yet when he came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell at his feet and said, "People call me a wise person, but actually I don't know who I am. I don't know what is the goal of life, and I don't know how to achieve that goal." So this humility of the disciple endears the disciple to the spiritual master. And Prabhupada emphasized this. We find in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, a first chapter, Arjuna has so many very wonderful arguments why he should not fight this war, that there will be no happiness in achieving victory, in achieving the kingdom, in achieving the opulence that comes with the kingdom, that sin will overcome us for destroying the family tradition, that the women will become polluted because there'll be irreligion and there'll be unwanted population. Then with unwanted population, the family traditions will be vanquished. So this doesn't work either. Obviously, this was not meant to be this class. So it wasn't the batteries? It was something else?
It's the batteries.
Oh, it is the batteries. Okay. We'll just let it go. So when there's unwanted population, then because the children are not trained in the tradition, they don't maintain the family traditions, and then the whole society goes to hell, and those who destroy the family tradition also go to hell. So these are very substantial reasons, arguments, why Arjuna should not fight. And yet, in the next chapter, when he finally surrenders, Sishyasteham Prapanyam, he says, "Prapanyam, I surrender unto you," very similar to Pranipatena. And then he doesn't bring up those arguments any further. I should just yell, forget the microphone. Hare Krishna. So he no longer brings up those arguments. He does ask questions, he does make inquiries, but those arguments, even though they're very valid, they're no longer part of his thought process once this prapannam comes in, the surrender to the spiritual master, to Krishna in this case directly. So this is a vital principle of spiritual life that Prabhupada would emphasize. That's I spent some time with him, with Srila Prabhupada in Juhu, before the temple was constructed. And for those who have been to Juhu, you know that it's quite near a very beautiful beach, Juhu Beach. And Prabhupada used to very much relish going on a walk on Juhu Beach every day for an hour. It's only 3 or 4 minute walk from the temple itself. And he would very often be accompanied by one Dr. Patel. Maybe you've heard of Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel would never walk alone. Can you hear me now? Is this okay? Dr. Patel always had 2 or 3 friends that he would walk with. And they would talk about Bhagavad Gita. They all were students of Bhagavad Gita, he and his friends. And when they saw Prabhupada, they would join us. And Dr. Patel was an unusual character in that he was very outspoken. And let's just put it, he was very outspoken. And sometimes he had misunderstandings of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada would try to correct him, and there would be a very fiery exchange between them. So I have here a little excerpt of one of these exchanges that is relevant to this topic today. Dr. Patel, "I cannot submit without understanding. This is what I was taught in school." Prabhupada, "Because you do not submit, therefore you do not understand." Dr. Patel, "No, I cannot submit until I understand." Prabhupada, "No, no. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Pranipat, First of all, Pranipat, Dr. Patel, I am doing Pranipat to you. Do you think I am disrespecting you? If you take it, then you please pardon me. Prabhupada, no. It is not the question of disrespecting, but that is not full surrender. You think you know better than me. Dr. Patel, I want to learn myself. Prabhupada, that will be very good. If you don't talk, simply hear, it will be beneficial. Dr. Patel, all right, acha. Prabhupada, then you'll understand, but your habit is, as soon as we begin talks, immediately you talk, without hearing, and therefore you do not understand. Dr. Patel, acha, let us hear. Prabhupada, then if you cannot understand, you'll inquire, not that you will think, I know better than him, therefore I shall talk. It will never help you understand. So Prabhupada is very clear that the prerequisite for acquiring this knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is this humble, submissive attitude. And one who lacks that will fail to understand. This is also, we find this very interestingly in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the very first verse, it's established that the absolute truth is Vasudev, the son of Vasudev, Krishna, and that he is the cause of all causes, that he is responsible for the creation of this world and its sustenance and also its destruction, and that he is completely independent, and that also he imparted knowledge to the heart of Brahma, the first created being in this universe. And then in the very second verse, it's stated that as soon as one attentively and submissively hears this knowledge, then from within that person's heart, Krishna will be pleased to allow that person to understand the knowledge. The Lord will be established in that person's heart. So Prabhupada has created our morning program to remind us continually of this point of Pranipat. If you consider that when we stand before the deities, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, we sing the Gurvastakam, the beautiful Sanskrit prayers by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And the refrain in each one, Mande Guru Sri Charanaravinda, that we're offering our respectful, humble obeisances to the spiritual master who is embodying what the verses describe, each and every verse described. So we offer our obeisances to the spiritual master first thing in the morning, and also to the Lord, of course. We sing Namaste Nadasringhaya. We're offering our obeisances to Lord Nisringadev and to the Lord's devotees, Namo Namo Tulsi Krishna Prayasi. We're offering our obeisances to this exalted devotee, Tulsi Maharani. And then to each other, Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha. Then to the holy name, we say, we chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, thinking ourselves. So again, this idea of humility, pranipat, surrendering to not only the devotees, but also, of course, the Lord, the Lord's servants. We're reminded over and over again. And then later on, Prabhupada has us sing this beautiful song, Sri Guru Bandana. The morning song is in Sanskrit. This one is in Bengali. And if you look at the first two lines, the first words are about the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And then the kevala means only. And sadma is abode. So the only abode of bhakti is to be found in the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Therefore, bando mui. Bando is the same, it's Bengali for the morning song. Bande guru sri charanaravinda. This bando is the same word. Therefore, with great Savadana means great care, great attention. I offer my respectful obeisances to him. So this means that it's not a ritual. We don't do it automatically without thinking, but with great attention, that we're appreciating the gift of the spiritual master, the gift of knowledge, the gift of the understanding how to practically apply this knowledge, and in gratitude for this, in submission, we're offering our respects. And if we turn it around and look at the opposite qualities, pride and arrogance, conceit, harshness and anger, these are identified with demonic qualities. These are mentioned specifically by Krishna. And once in a while, Prabhupada would have to rectify his wayward disciples. I found a letter here. This was from 1971, written to Ray Rama. Prabhupada wrote, "You have to decide yourself whether you are prepared to surrender to our principles. But if you keep your independence, either in Mayapur or New York, your position is the same. To associate with me, you are always welcome, but not with your independence. That will not help me or you." So I think it's very clear, this requirement of pranipat, of submission. But at the same time, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, blind following is not recommended. He sometimes would point out that gurus come, especially back in the 60s and 70s, gurus would come from India with many disciples. And in the West, they would say, oh, this person has so many disciples, it must be wonderful, and become his disciple without knowing what he is speaking, if he is speaking from the scriptures or from his own mind. And this is blind following, to follow a rascal. So Prabhupada did not want blind followers. And he also said in a very significant letter that he wrote to one of his key leaders, "Krishna consciousness movement is for training men and women to be independently thoughtful and competent in all types of departments of knowledge and action." So my question to you is, how do we reconcile these apparent contradictions that on the one hand, we're required to be submissive, to be surrendered, to yield to the authority of the spiritual master, and on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be independently thoughtful in all areas of knowledge and action. Everyone is very sleepy this morning, so try to think how these opposites can be reconciled. Did you hear the question? Please, David Prabhu.
I think that Vedi Sadhana Bhakti is in terms of rules and regulations, and we follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And then to be independently thoughtful is to be situated in ourselves when we go on to like Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti and the spiritual master in the heart, where our independence is in tune with the spiritual master.
Thank you.
I think it's Prabhupada is talking about productive knowledge, where we can only access real spiritual growth if we apply what the spiritual master has given us. So at the same time, we hear submissively, but we act on it with knowledge and, you know, independent thought. We reflect, we write, we share, we do sankirtan, we give what we're living.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So my understanding is that surrender means that we are following the instructions of the spiritual master. We are following four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds and whatever he asks us. But at the same time, we are able to have our own ideas about how to preach, how to expand the movement. And we are able also to preach to others in a way which is for them easy to take. So we are his representatives, adjusting to the situation.
Thank you.
My understanding is that we want spiritual master to guide us and to especially if he's a qualified one, to fully surrender to his instruction, even though it's totally different to everything that we know until now. And from our side, we try to understand it. We trust his instruction, and then as much as we are able in this moment to understand it from our side. So this is like independent, thoughtful from our side, but submissive to the guidance.
Thank you.
My understanding is you can surrender everything to your authorities, but don't surrender your intelligence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also quotes, he says, if you follow Guru Sadhu Shastra, then your mind will not affect you. If you listen to the mind, you become degraded.
Thank you. Mohan Prabhu.
Quite a few weeks ago, I was reading Prabhupada Shikshamrita. I don't remember exactly which disciple or devotee it was, but I remember him saying that when Prabhupada came to America, one thing that they really kind of they felt confidence in is that Prabhupada gave them an instruction, but then gave them their dependence in how they choose to follow that instruction. In the sense of that, he gave them the outline, he gave them the rules, he gave them the regulation, he gave them the philosophy. Now you go and use your dependence to go and preach Krishna consciousness, so interdependence. You know, it's like everyone had their independence, but then they used their independence to surrender to Prabhupada, to surrender to Krishna, to go and spread the movement and to use their creativity, their imagination, their different skills. That's my understanding, that the spiritual master draws the guideline, he draws the outline, and within that outline, as long as you're within that outline, you can do what will help you in your Krishna consciousness. Because we can't say two same people, like two different people, you know, it's like, yeah, they're following the same process, but they may have a little bit like, you know, one person may like doing certain things in a certain way, another person may like doing a certain services. So that's what I think it means, you be thoughtful and be independent, meaning that the whole process is here. Now you go and find how you can develop your relationship with Prabhupada and Krishna based on what's been given to you.
Thank you. Very nice. Those are all very nice answers. Another way to look at it is that we know from the 7th chapter of Gita that Krishna has these 8 external energies: earth, water, fire, air, and ether are the gross ones. Mind, intelligence, and false ego are the subtle ones. And due to false ego, we can sometimes have a superiority complex, just like Dr. Patel. Prabhupada was saying, you think you know better than me, therefore you interrupt me, you don't hear. So this is the false ego that we want to shrink to nil, which was so profoundly shown by the example of Sanatana Goswami. He didn't identify with his brahminical birth, with his wealth, with his intelligence, with his position in the government. He realized that that was all temporary, and that to establish your identity based on those flickering things was a false way to establish it, and it builds up pride and arrogance and conceit. And these are the things that will block us from understanding this false ego. So the goal is to make this false ego wither to nothing. And we can see that in terms of not challenging the spiritual master, the challenge, thinking, I know better than you, is what will block the understanding. And so Arjuna gave this beautiful example, so many wonderful arguments why he shouldn't fight, but he leaves those aside, he never brings them up again. And when he does speak, it's to make inquiries or to glorify the Lord, but never to challenge him. Because this challenging spirit is a sign of the false ego, the superiority complex, which is so detrimental for spiritual growth. There, Prabhupada, when he named us, he gave us beautiful names based on the Lord's names, or the Lord's devotees' names, or the Lord's activities' names, but it was always with Das or Dasi. Servant of the Lord, servant of the Lord's devotees. This is the idea. And he also trained us that we address each other as Prabhu. If I am servant, it means the others, all the others, are my Prabhus. That is the vision that he evoked or tried to evoke. And also the example that he gave. He would address his disciples sometimes as Prabhu, which was quite shocking for the disciple to be addressed by Prabhu, as Prabhu by Srila Prabhupada. But that was the example. There was a time when he was preaching in France, and he was talking to an assembly of students mostly, and the devotees had brought his Vyasa sign and put it on the stage. And Prabhupada, in the course of his talk, he spoke about Varnashram and the four Varnas and Ashrams. And in France particularly, they're quite disturbed by hierarchy. And so one of the students challenged him and said, so where are you in this hierarchy that you described with Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra? And Prabhupada said, I am the servant of all of them. And that's how he felt, that he was giving knowledge to everyone, regardless of who they were or what they were. And so in that way, he was servant of all. And that was a very genuine feeling that he expressed and lived by. So, yeah, the idea is to use our intelligence, as Mohan Prabhu said, to figure out how we can best serve the instructions of our spiritual master. And it's also mentioned in this verse that we read, this pranipat is only one aspect. The other aspect is pariprasnena, to make inquiries, submissive inquiries, and then sevaya, the rendering of service. So these are the elements that will enable us to grasp the knowledge that the spiritual master is imparting to us. So the ability to be independently thoughtful means that we can apply Krishna consciousness in different times, places, circumstances, effectively. Apply it effectively in whatever time, place, or circumstance we're in. So I did want to take a few minutes to glorify Jesus, Lord Jesus, because today is Christmas. So before perhaps we have a discussion on this, I have some statements from Srila Prabhupada about Lord Jesus. This is a letter that he wrote in 1967. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai Shri Shri Gornitai, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote a letter in 1967 to Mr. Damsberg. He said, I have heard that you are a great devotee of Lord Jesus Christ. It is very good. I am also an insignificant servant of Lord Jesus Christ because I am preaching the same message as Lord Jesus did. I am preaching God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. In another letter, this is from 1970, he said, Lord Jesus Christ is Shaktivesh Avatar, an empowered living entity or jiva. In order to attain such a position, one must be pure. So in this sense, Lord Jesus Christ was a pure devotee. Of course, humanitarianism is not a sign of the pure devotee. But unless he did like that, no one would hear him. So Lord Jesus Christ was acting a part suitable for the particular circumstances. So there we have independently thoughtful. That humanitarianism was so highly valued at that time. So to attract the people to the message of God, Jesus Christ did so many humanitarian activities. This is another letter from 1969. We have great respect for Lord Jesus Christ. We accept him as a powerful incarnation of Krishna, as much as we accept Lord Buddha. We can adjust the Buddhists, Christians, and even the Mohammedans to our Krishna consciousness movement. So if the religious heads of these faiths try to understand our philosophy, certainly there will be great impetus in the matter of spiritual rejuvenation in the world. It's another, a few more here. We accept Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and he was a great Vaishnava. Because he appeared in another country does not mean that we should not offer him respect. If we stick to our principles as I have given you, more and more, these priestly class, they will come to respect us and appreciate something of our philosophy. Therefore, I stress so much the devotional rules and regulations. This is from 1971. I am very glad that you are inquisitive to know the science of Krishna consciousness, and you are already practically experiencing the awakening of transcendentally blissful love of God, Krishna, by the simple chanting of his holy names. This awakening of pure love of God is the ultimate perfection of all bona fide religious principles, including Christian, Judaic, Mohammedan, Hindu, etc. Just as it is recorded that Lord Jesus Christ said that the first commandment is that one should love God with all his heart and soul and mind. Similarly, Krishna instructs that everyone should surrender unto him in love. Lord Jesus says that the first thing is to develop your love for God. Krishna is God. Krishna says to love him only. So what is the difference between the original teachings of Lord Jesus Christ and Krishna? Lord Jesus explains that he kept his disciples faithful to the Lord in his holy name, and the process of Lord Chaitanya is the same. To keep one always in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the holy name of the Lord. Please go on with your chanting regularly and attend the temple classes as far as possible and be happy in Krishna consciousness. Should we go on? Read a few more? Is that okay? Every living entity is the son of God, but not all the sons are faithful to their father. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. So one who turns away from his father naturally cannot see his father, but the faithful son can see his father at any time. Under the circumstances, we can understand the word of John, because amongst all the people of that place, Jesus Christ was the only faithful Son of God, Krishna. Lord Jesus says, from John 6:46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. So one who is a devotee of the Lord in pure love, who teaches others how to love God, is the messenger of God, and he can see God without any doubt. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 11:54, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and I can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So the method of approaching God, bhakti yoga, or devotional service, and the supreme goal of life, pure love of Krishna, is the same message taught by Lord Jesus Christ, as well as by Krishna himself. The matter is very simple. Lord Jesus is the faithful Son of God, and his Father, God, is Krishna. So there cannot be any disagreement between them. Therefore, the Father and Son are one in agreement. There's one more. I am very glad to learn you are feeling very strongly for Lord Jesus Christ. You have already mentioned the exemplary character of Lord Jesus Christ, that he sacrificed everything for God. This example should be taken. The process should be to follow, not to imitate, the exact activities. For example, Lord Jesus Christ wanted to preach among some persons who were practically against the principles of accepting God as the Supreme. And the result was that these people crucified him. At the present moment, the world situation is more dangerous than before. People have become actually godless. So if you follow the footsteps of Lord Jesus Christ to preach God consciousness against godlessness and dedicate your life in that way, that will be the real purpose of following Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ revealed that he was the Son of God, and Krishna revealed that he is God himself, the Supreme Father of all living entities. So if you dedicate your life to the service of Krishna, the Supreme Father, don't you think that Lord Jesus Christ will be pleased with this? At the present moment, we have to preach in an enlightened society, so Krishna consciousness has got inexhaustible treasure house of philosophy, logic, and science to convince people about God. So if you're actually serious about following the footsteps of Lord Jesus Christ, you should take advantage of the great philosophical background of this Krishna consciousness movement and make people God conscious, dedicating your life, trying to make progress. That was also a letter from 1969. So we can see that it's extremely attractive how Prabhupada was so broad-minded in his presentation of Krishna consciousness and his appreciation for other religious traditions, that he sees the principles of these other traditions and sees how they exactly correspond to the principles of Krishna consciousness, and that we can serve Jesus Christ by preaching Krishna consciousness. And this broad outlook is so refreshing compared to the concept that if you don't follow my way, you're a heathen, you're going to hell, and so forth, because the principles are, as Prabhupada clearly enunciates, they're the same in all the great traditions. What people do to those principles over time is another matter. But if we look to the foundational, the roots of these traditions, we find that they're focused on surrendering to God with submission and serving him with thoughtful intelligence, as we see the example, certainly in Srila Prabhupada and in Jesus Christ. So we have heard all this knowledge, and we can dedicate our lives to realizing it and applying it appropriately in an independently thoughtful way. So we have 5 minutes. I hope there's some discussion. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, dear mother. Thank you for a beautiful, thoughtful, and inspiring class. And taking us a little bit closer to Srila Prabhupada through your association. So, you know, we're always dealing with this demons and angels in our mind, and the demon being false ego. And then there's false ego, and then there's subtle false ego, because there's also entitlement, like you explained, Dasi. We also have a subtle false ego. We're expressing ourselves humbly, but there's also a subtle ego in it. So how do we navigate through that, you know, because then there's the idea of we're devotee and non-devotee, any title, whether it's servant of servant of servant, because that's a title as well. How do you navigate yourself through that?
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful question. I have to say that I'm going to answer this obliquely, if you'll allow me. My son-in-law, who's an initiated devotee about 10 or 15 years ago, he was making a very thorough study of the Bhagavatam. So I asked him at one point how he deals with statements in the Bhagavatam, say about women or about black people or about homosexuals. What does he do when it comes to these statements that appear perhaps critical or demeaning of them? And he said something, he doesn't remember this, but I remember it vividly because it was so profound for me. He said, whenever I read anything in any one of Prabhupada's books that makes me feel superior to anyone else or any group of people, I immediately know I've misunderstood what I've read. It was such a beautiful answer, because Prabhupada himself came very humbly just to give the knowledge. And we, as his representatives, are also supposed to imbibe his knowledge and give it. And this feeling of superiority in any way, shape, or form will not help us in our endeavor. And so we should be aware of that. We should be conscious of that as part of being thoughtful and realize this is something that we want to vanquish. And it will happen over time as we go on with the process. But if we are not attentive, you know, this savadana mate with great care and attention. So it's not to be done automatically, it's not to be done ritualistically, it's not to be done without thought, but to be attentive and to realize I am the servant of the servant. This is actually who I am. And that will be very helpful. Does that respond at all to what you said?
Yes, thank you. Yes, it did. Thank you.
You know, when you were comparing Jesus and Srila Prabhupada, the one thing that comes to mind is that I think Jesus said he hasn't come to tell the people there that he was preaching to anything new. I've come but to confirm that which is already there. So, you know, Prabhupada, he had a similar sort of statement about Bhagavad Gita. He says, we're taking Bhagavad Gita as it is. And somehow the knowledge has been changed or interpreted in different ways. And I think it's a similar thing when Jesus came. He found that people weren't going to the scriptures, and he was actually telling them what it says in the scriptures and confirming what it said in the scriptures. So he just saw himself as a servant of the message. And much like Prabhupada, he was a servant of the message. And that was all very nice. And his example, I remember, he says, I'm not telling you I'm your friend. I'm telling you that Krishna says he's your best friend. So, and he says, I'm just trying to tell you that's what Krishna's saying, that he is your best friend. It's not me, it's not this person, not this person. You just have to remember that he is your best friend. And he was purely directing everything to the source of whatever he had or whatever knowledge he had, was that he would always relate it that it's Krishna's knowledge, it's Krishna's gift, it's Krishna's mercy. And in that way he was always a serving in his mentality. He was a completely humble, I suppose, via medium of Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.